Welcome to another Carlin and Lyde Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
G'day, mate. How's it doing over there in your home sweet home?
Well, it's like everybody else. I had a very quiet Easter time, and I'm now actually on holidays for real. So Sharon and I, we're going to be flying over to New Zealand. And obviously that's not happening. And just like a lot of other people, unfortunately, all those travel plans have been put on hold. And so, yeah, so I've been doing different stuff and trying to keep myself busy, but enjoying a bit of peace and quiet and enjoying not doing too much at all.
Are you going to have a simulated flight?
How about yourself?
Yeah. Well, again, I had my cruise to New Zealand cancelled and my trip to North America. They're on hold now for 12 months, 24 months. Who knows?
Well, that's right. We don't know. So we just have to take it day by day or week by week and then see how we are in a month's time, in a couple of months, and so on and so on.
Hey, listen, one thing we can talk about without, you know, being any sports to actually watch, is there any good films, good books? Let's talk about a couple of those. What's one film that you find inspiring?
I don't know about inspiring. I mean, but you are obviously a book man, aren't you? How many books would you have at home?
One or two, maybe 5,000.
So I'm more of a, I like to view things. I'm not a big reader. And so I like to watch, I prefer to watch things, movies, etc. But a couple of movies, and we have talked about movies many times before, but one that I really enjoy is called Rush. Have you seen that movie called Rush?
That's a negative. No, I haven't. Sorry.
Well, it's not a baseball movie, so that doesn't surprise me.
Well, it must be motorsport. Must be motorsport if you're watching it.
It is. Well done. And so Rush is a movie that is actually about the 1976 Formula One season.
Yeah.
And that season, of course, was when Niki Lauda had his terrible crash at the German Grand Prix. And so it's the story about that year, and it really sort of talks about the battle between James Hunt, who a British driver at the time, who ended up actually winning the Formula One championship that year, and his rivalry with Niki Lauda. So they went back obviously when they were younger drivers and sort of come up through the different divisions of driving, and so I talked a bit about the backstory there. And obviously James Hunt was a very flamboyant sort of playboy type of figure, and Niki Lauda was that very opposite type of person. He was very serious and very quiet and didn't have a big social life. He was very focused on his driving, and so it sort of showcased those different personalities.
I think the different personalities in sports is part of the dramatic effect, the way they contrast each other.
Well, it does, isn't it? And in this case, like Formula One now has, you know, we know it's the biggest motorsport in the world, and it has a lot of following from, you know, famous people and, you know, singers and actors and so on. It's got that sort of rock star type of appeal. But prior to sort of James Hunt was one of those guys who really established that. And the guy that owned the team that he first drove for was this sort of British aristocrat, and he had lots of money and would fly people around, and they had their champagne and lobster, and they would get celebrities coming to the track, and so it was a real sort of show that they put on. And of course James Hunt loved that type of lifestyle. That's what he had lived, and it's interesting, the movie itself sort of shows there was a real hatred between Hunt and Lauda, but you know, reading stuff after, actually they were quite good friends and they had a lot of respect for each other and actually shared a house together for a little while. So it's interesting how movies, they twist the plot to make it a little bit more interesting, but often the truth is not so interesting, or not as interesting.
Yeah, it's funny about that. What would you suggest is the major aspect of that movie that appealed to you the most? What was, in a nutshell, why you chose Lush as your first option?
I think more about Niki Lauda. Like, I mean, do you remember that crash?
Yes.
Like, do you remember it happening?
Yeah.
And so I did. I mean, and obviously I'll make fun of you being a little bit older than me, but we're not that different in age. But I remember that as a young guy, you know, seeing that. And that was big news, wasn't it? That was a terrific crash. And obviously, you know, car racing, especially Formula One, has become so much safer compared to what it was in the 70s. But just his story, because, again, like, you see things and they stick with you. And that crash and then seeing Niki Lauda later, obviously he passed away in 2019, but well, not very long ago, but he's been part of the Mercedes team that have won the last six world championships. So sort of seeing him now or in the present, but then every time you see him, you see that, you know, obviously his face and head was disfigured from that accident. So going back and actually seeing a bit more detail and some of the scenes where he was in hospital, and apparently that was fairly accurate. But he was back racing in 6 weeks.
I know, amazing.
So I crashed that. Yeah, and like his head was still bandaged, and they showed like some of the scenes from hospital where they actually had to vacuum out his lungs because obviously the fire had damaged his lungs, and so all the debris, and they were sort of sucking all this stuff out of his lungs and putting on his helmet even with his head obviously so badly burnt. And then coming back to race in less than 6 weeks.
Incredible story.
Showed him like the type of person and character he was. But also shows, I think, that psyche of some sports people that they're so driven that they just nothing really
overcome.
Like, nothing will stop them.
They overcome adversity. I'll tell you something funny. You're talking about how the movies changed things. Now, look, obviously, I've got a number of baseball books I'm really keen on, but one of the first books I ever read was The Natural by Bernard Malapad. Now, that was at high school. I read that book, and it had a fairly big effect on me. And then the film came out, The Natural, with Robert Redford. Do you remember that film? And at the end, he hits that long home run that hits the scoreboard and all the fireworks. Well,
in the rain. It was in the rain, wasn't it? Yeah. It was a storm.
Yeah, yeah. But the funny thing is, in the book, he strikes out and he walks away a loser. And I'm thinking, wow, how Hollywood can twist the story.
Well, that's what I mean. You can't have – that's a great story, but you need a great ending. You want people to walk away, you know, having
uplifted.
That sort of feeling of that was a great story and having those great feelings as they finish watching the movie or reading the book. And obviously, the book was more accurate.
Now, that would have been about 1972 I read that book, but the first baseball book I ever had was, and I remember this, 1971, because at the time I was just getting my interest of baseballs coming to the fore, and I was an avid reader of all the SNFL yearbooks, and I'd pore through all the stats. Well, I come across this book, I think it was given to me by an auntie. It was the Sporting News, Daguerreotypes of Great Stars of Baseball, and it basically had all the star statistics of like Babe Ruth and all the famous players, and that really laid the foundation for my love of the history of the sport. And then there was another book come out in 2006, Sporting World Tour, where it basically helped start baseball in Australia back in 1888-89. That was written by Mark Lampster. Thoroughly enjoyable book, great photos. But just out of left field, so to speak, this book came to my attention and it was written in 2011. It was soon after that. It was called The Bottom of the 33rd, basically the 33rd innings. It was a minor league game between two AAA clubs, which is the level just under the major leagues, and it was the Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rochester... The Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rockets.
I just make sure you're not swearing then, but.
Yeah, no, the Pawtucket Red Sox and the Rochester Red Wings, and they were the minor league affiliates of the Boston Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles. But of interest, Wade Boggs, very famous batting leader for many years for Boston. He was playing in this game for Pawtucket, and Cole Ripken, who broke Lou Gehrig's consecutive game record for Baltimore Orioles, he was playing for the Rochester Red Wings. And the way the book was structured, it went along and had a sort of match report through each of the innings, but in between each innings, he wrote about the players and where they ended up and what they did with their careers. He wrote about the ticket collector. He wrote about the managers, the owners, everything involved with this particular game. And it was just the way he did it. I just found it quite inspiring in my own thinking about looking at various sporting stories. So, yeah, that I found that probably the best place for this.
This is 33 innings of baseball. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, the game lasted more than 8 hours. And, in fact, usually when a game gets to midnight, 1 a.m., they cancel and play it later. This game actually went to like the 31st, 32nd innings before that happened because they couldn't get in contact with the guy that makes those decisions, the one that runs the in charge of the competition. They couldn't contact him, and as a consequence, they kept playing. And then eventually they got in contact with him and they stopped the game. And then when they finished it, you know, the last innings or two, Pawtucket scored a run and they won 3-2. But it's just an incredible.
When did they stopped? What, early in the morning?
Yeah, like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m. or something like that.
And they kicked off what, the next day?
Well, it wasn't the next day.
Same day.
No, it was. It might have been a month or so later when they met again, and they just finished that game off first.
Oh, wow.
Before they played the other game, but a suspended game they called it. And but the fact of the matter is that they got like 8 hours played straight, and it was just an incredible story. And there was chances for both teams. And I think at one stage Rochester scored a run to go ahead, but then in the bottom of the innings, Pawtucket scored a run to keep the game going. So 33 innings. I mean, the longest game I've ever heard of in Australia is 19 innings, just to put that into perspective for you. So, incredibly long game.
Are there rules now to prevent that? You're saying that they normally would have the rules changed over time, that they can only play so many innings? Or
no, you play to a result. The games can be suspended, but normally a game won't go longer than midnight, 1 a.m. or something like that. I mean, there was a famous World Series game in 2001 between the New York Yankees and the Arizona Diamondbacks in New York, and it was going on and on, and it actually got past midnight, and they were making a bit of a joke because one of the New York players, the shortstop, belted a home run, and they called him Mr. November because it was actually the 1st of November. And, of course, there's Reggie Jackson hit these three home runs in the game for the Yankees back in the 70s, and he was called Mr. October. So Jeter, the shortstop for the New York Yankees, hit the home run. He got the moniker of Mr. November, and that was hit after midnight.
Wow.
Well, so
that's a lot of beer and hot dogs to have.
It is. Now, we've obviously almost expired our time just in this little talk. I reckon we'll do this again, and because I've got other books I wouldn't mind talking about, and I'm sure you've got another film. So how about we say, so ends another Carl and Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
It's over already. I'm Ricky Barbie. That will give you a hint for our next movie.